So in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here. There's trees, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature, but here's what's really interesting is that in the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven apart, and about how God is bringing them back together once again.
So let's go back to the beginning where heaven and earth, they're completely overlapping.
Yeah, this is what the Bible's description of the Garden of Eden is all about. It's a place where God and humanity dwelt together perfectly, no separation, and humans then partner with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world and so on.
But as humans, we wanted to do things a different way. We wanted God out and we wanted to create a world apart from him.
Yeah, so we have these two spaces now. And the Bible actually uses lots of different kinds of words and phrases to refer to these two spaces to make a clear distinction.
So you've said that these spaces can overlap, though. So explain how that works.
Yeah, this is where we have to start talking about temples. Because in the biblical world, you experience God's presence by going to a temple. That's where heaven and earth overlap.
Now, there are two types of temples described in the Bible. One is a tabernacle, basically a tent that was built by Moses. And the other was this massive building made by Solomon.
And these temples were decorated with fruit trees and flowers and images of angels and all kinds of gold and jewels and so on. And these are designed to make you feel like you're going back to the garden. And at the center of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was like the hot spot of God's presence.
Now we can go and be with God again.
But not so fast, because the temple also creates a problem. So God's space is full of his presence and goodness and justice and beauty, but human space is full of sin and injustice and the ugliness that results.
So how do these spaces overlap if they're so different and they're in conflict with each other?
This was resolved through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter into the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so if I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reuniting.
Right. So we have to keep going in the story where we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now, this word dwelling is really curious. It means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth overlap.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they kill him, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite heaven and earth.
But we have to go back to a scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talked about as being a temple. He's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbs sin to create a clean space that is not limited like animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and spreading and reuniting more and more of heaven on earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question in my mind, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's space to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn that Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Good morning, everyone. So look for this video. It's very interesting, because we can see that the whole Bible, the story of the Bible, is a story of restoration. It's God bring back together us with Him. And last week, we are finished the book of Revelation. And last week, based on the book of Daryl Johnson, Pastor Phil shared about seven things we will not have in the New Jerusalem. He talks about there is not sea, there are not tears, death, mourning, crying, or pain. They are not seen there. So they are not character traits of behaviors that are inconsistent with the King of God. There is no temple there. We don't need temple there. The city has not need of sun or the moon to shine upon it. There are no closed gates, and there are no longer be any kind of currency. So today we will focus in a different way. We will focus on seven things that we will have for sure in heaven. Okay, the first one, of course, God is there. Praise the Lord. God is there. And if you look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and 3, it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Look, the tabernacle of God is among men and women, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people.'" There is no temple there, because now the whole city is the temple. It's interesting, when you look for the Old Testament, you have the tabernacle, but the whole of holy was just a small space. Okay, in the temple of Solomon, we have the only, that holy of holies, the small space was the place where God was. But now, the whole city is the holy of holies. God is present there. But when you read Revelation 21, verse 22, John adds one detail more. He says here, "And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple." So it's not only that the city is the temple. John said, God and the Lamb, they are the temple too. So there are no temple because God and the Lamb are the temple. Nothing exists apart from God, even in our world now, okay? But there is a difference between now and there in this new city. There, everything will be divine. Everything will be part of God. Here, we know that God is present, but there, everything will be marked by the God's presence. So this makes a lot different. And why this will be possible? This will be possible because we will have a different bodies. If you look for 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, says, "Through this he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We will have a different body. And because of that, we have this opportunity to live with God. Second thing we have there, of course, is the glory of God will be there. The Greek word for glory, is doxa. And this means the heaviness of God's self-manifestation. The same glory that was in the desert, in the tabernacle, will be the same glory, the presence of God over there. Of course, we can say that God is everywhere. Yes, it's true. But the glory of God manifest is not everywhere. You know, in history, when you look back, we can have some example. If you look back for revivals in Europe, where people only, when they start to begin to listen about the word of God, they just jump and bawl and cry because they say, I need God. That was a time that the glory of God was so clear there. We have place where a pastor, preach in one language, like me now with a very bad English. But even that, people back start to understand clearly. And they come to Christ. Why is that? It's because the glory of God was so powerful. The presence of God was so powerful in that place that everything can happen. So the whole city, this new city, glows with the docks of glory everywhere in the city. The whole of new creation are shimmering, shining like diamond and jasper, because God's presence is everywhere. I confess you, sometimes I'm reading the Bible, I pray, but I don't feel God's presence. And it's true. I see it. I said, are you there? Almost I can say that. Are you really listening to me? Because I need feel. I'm a sanguineous person. Okay? I need touch. I need feel. I need talk. And I was saying here that Jake... Every day when I go to school, Hope Academy, I go inside his office. He say, hey, Jake, give him a hug. I came to give a hug. I need feel. And the truth is, our relationship with God, sometimes, or most of the time, we don't feel. Sometimes I felt. I felt my stomach like... It was nothing bad that I ate. But I feel that God was moving inside me. It's really, I feel that God's presence I had. And for me, it was amazing. Because, wow, in the middle of the worship, I was worshiping. And I feel like the blender moving inside me. I said, whoa, I ate everything, was good. But I feel God is take me. I feel God's presence. And this is amazing because when I get out, I feel like so renewed. It's something, wow. But you know, most of the time, it's by faith. You pray, you know, I don't need to feel anything. Because faith, it's believing something that you don't see. But you still believe. But that day, my brothers and sisters, will not be one moment that you will be doubt that God is there or not. Because your body, your mind will already a new creature. Without sin, without pain, without sickness, 100% your potential. 100% your relationship with God. So this is, and this will be a wonderful place to be. But this is only possible through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, nobody can be there. Only through Jesus Christ. So it's the place where God is there. It's the place where the glory of God is there. The full manifestation of God will be there. The third point here is there is a tangible world there. It's a real thing. It's not like, okay, you know, I love it, Remak. Do you know what Remak is? Hammock? You know, hammock is rede in Portuguese. Hammock, it's like a bed. Can you explain in English what it is? I just put between two trees, like Indian like. So we have a lot in Brazil. I love a hammock. So after you have a lunch, wow, it's so good. After barbecue. So I have, of course, I brought a very good hammock from Brazil, and I have. Yeah, you can give. I can give you a drive-through one day if you go for my house. So I just lay down. I just wait in just few minutes. I can snore like a bear. My wife know about it. But you know, heaven will be not like that. It's not like the angels fly, flowers, you don't do anything. No. The point here, that history is, it's God put together a city now, and it's real life, all there. We have trees, we have river. It's a world, but it's a new world. It's a new heaven. It's a new earth. And we have cities, we have trees, we have buildings, we have gates, walls, everything. Trees will be there, and there is a river. So the George Ladd said that the Bible always places man and woman on a redeeming earth, not in a heavenly realm removed from earthly existence. God originally made us for earth, and in Jesus, God will fulfill this original idea, this original intent. We'll be here in this earth, okay? So the destiny of God's people is not go to heaven. It's our destiny is to enter in a new heaven, in a new earth, that will be here where we live, okay? The fourth point, there are peoples there. This is very important. Maybe this was a surprise for John as a Jew, but God used here a word in plural. They use the word people in plural. In Portuguese, it's very confused for me because people for me is already plural. Okay? In my mind, it's already plural. How peoples? I don't know because, yeah, but the truth is here is that the word that we find here in Greek, laoi, is the plural that laos, just people. So if you can translate correct here, will be like, they will be my peoples. It's many, not only. What they said to me would be amazing. Imagine Russians and Americans walk together and talk about life. And even worse, Brazilians and Argentinians talk about soccer in heaven and without problem. Okay? But why you say there is not special people, special nation? No. There will be only one. Those who were bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no difference. There is no difference about colors, race, no, nothing. Because we will be only one. No ethnic group can bear or manifest the full image of God. In this new city, we have all there a God's multi-ethnic race. This will be the place. And fifth point here is the race creativity here. It's of course, because we have so many different cultures, so many different people in different places. They have, it's so rich, we have everything. So Anthony Hockman, a Reformed theologian, asked, will there be better Beethovens on the new earth? Shall we then see better Rembrandts, better Raphaels? Shall we read better poetry, better drama, better prose? Of course, yes. Because when you'll be there, we'll be 100% of our full potential. So you can write better. We can paint better because we'll be perfect in God. So it'll be a lot creativity. There is too life there. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation." The word here used for life, Zoe, is different from the word bio, or it's better, bios. Okay? The word bios, or life, that means bios, is the life we got from our parents. It's a good life, but it's a life that decays with the time. We will die one day, the bios. But the word used here when say the river, the water of life here, is the word Zoe. Zoe is the life that God has. Zoe is the life that God gives. It's a different life. It's a life that never decays. Never. Because we can find only in God. And we can find here too the tree of life. The tree of life is there. But you remember, the tree of life and the water of life was blocked from the human race. Because the human decide to not follow God. They decide to live by themselves, far from God. So what's happening here? What's happening here? God recognized, because we are recognized again with God through Jesus Christ, God said, "Now I can give you again the tree of life. I can give you again the water of life, because the sin is not there anymore." Okay? So in this place, in the new city, we will have again the tree of life and the river of life, because the sin will not be there anymore. Okay. The seventh point here, and the best one for me, they say, "The face of God is there, and they shall see his face." Can this be possible? See the face of God? This was what Moses wished for. Exodus chapter 33, 18 to 20 says, "Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.' And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.' But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live.'" The question we ask here, why now we can see the face of God? Why now we'll be able to see the face of God? And the answer is because it has been changed. We will not be the same. And the problem with Moses there was not because Moses was human and God was divine. No. The problem is because Moses was a sinner. It's because Moses have sin, and sin cannot live in the presence of God. So God said to him, "You cannot see my face because you are a sinner. And if you see my face, you die." This is the problem. But now it's different. Now our all nature will be transformed. There is no sin. And because there is no sin, I can walk close to God. And I can see God face to face. And better than everything, I can give a hug on Him. I can give a hug. This is amazing. God is not a distant God that you are make a list of all bad things you did. God is not like angels that walk with you, take notes. No. That day, you will see God face to face. You see Jesus face to face. And I know probably will be a huge line with so many questions. So many questions. So many questions. But the first thing I want to do, I want to give a hug. I want to give a hug. I want to give a hug. I'm lost. Okay. So look for 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is." When we change, we will see God face to face. The story of the Bible is a story of restoration. And the book of Revelation is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Show this process. It's the last chapter of this story. God is bringing, as you saw, heaven and earth together again. In a perfect harmony, and you can live with Him. This is the future of all followers of Jesus Christ. The New Jerusalem, this is the future. If you not follow Jesus yet, you need open your eyes to Jesus Christ. There is no another way. It's not about only religion. It's not because you can be a follower of a religion and you can continue to be totally lost, because it's not a building. It's not come every Sunday or every Saturday or Friday, doesn't matter. But it's through Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible said that one day, if you like or not, every person in the whole world in the history will come in front of Jesus, and they will bow and say, "You are Lord." And this doesn't matter if you believe or not, this will happen. But that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will say that "You are Lord. You are Lord." This is the future for only for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Not follower of a religion, but follower of Jesus Christ. And in that place, God will be there in His fullness. The glory of God will be there. The heavenly manifestation of God's presence will be there. It will be a tangible world. It's a real world. It's heaven and earth together. We will have trees, everything could be there, but everything could be different. There will be peoples from every people group, nation, language, everything, but they will live as one. They will live as one. There will be a lot of creativity there. Wow. You like to paint? There will be a lot better. We like to sing. There you sing like a bird. Everything will be a lot more, because there we'll be in our full potential. There will be life, the tree of life, the water of life, the Zoe, the life that never decay, no sickness, nothing there, no pain will be there. And we will have access, because the sin is not anymore there. And we will see the face of God. We'll be so close that you can see his face. God bless you.